Thank you, Pastor Ike, for that wonderful introduction. The name Moini actually is the extension of the Friends Beyond Borders that we are beginning to talk about, which is the extension of the Anabaptist roots now to other parts of the world. So thank you very much. I came from the country of South Sudan, where names like Abe or Dick are different. So Moini is the name from the grandparents that I was born into that I inherited. Sounds a little bit strange, but it is so easy to spell Moini. I work for Mennonite Central Committee, as Pastor Ike has already mentioned, and I coordinate the refugee sponsorship program here in Ontario. It has been a privilege for me to provide leadership to the refugee sponsorship program in Ontario for the past 10 years. Mennonite Central Committee is a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches, shares God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. In Ontario here, our programs span a broad range and includes programs in restorative justice, the Low German program, indigenous neighbors, people in poverty, and the refugee sponsorship and resettlement program. In addition to the programs that MCC runs in Canada and the US, MCC also works in 60 other countries worldwide, so it is a ministry that is truly global. Today, I'm going to talk to you about refugees. And before I do that, I want to read a few passages from the Bible that is going to root, that my talk is rooted on. And the first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. False and true worship. Shout, shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgment, and they delight to draw near to me. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. In such the fast that the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down, to bow the head like a bulrush, and to lie in the sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of injustice and to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall arise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones stronger. And you shall be like watered garden, like spring of water, whose waters will never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is our first reading from the Old Testament, and I have a reading that accompanies this from the New Testament, and it is taken from the book of Matthew 25, and the verses there are 31 to 46. 31, the judgment of the nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and he will on his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you are members of my family. You did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothes. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. When I was invited here to come and talk about refugees, I was excited. I get so excited about talking about refugees because I came to Canada myself as a refugee. And it was through this program that God reached out to me in miraculous ways and transformed me to see the world with complete new vision. So the excitement that I always have is something that a friend has shared with me, that he has been told by other friends that when he gets excited, He ends up speaking in Germany. For me, I confess I will not want to speak in Swahili or in Arabic today. I'll try to make sure that I communicate to you. So, refugees, where do I start? Allow me to share a story of a refugee family. Before the Syrian conflict began, Mary and her husband and two children enjoyed their lives. They owned a house, operated a business, and dreamed about their future. But the civil war in Syria changed everything. Their lives was changed as rebels took control of the city in which they lived. Safety and security became things of the past. Everyday activities like shopping, running errands became difficult. Mary and her family were terrified as their lives were engulfed by conflict. Every night, nightmares haunted their sleep. Mary's neighborhood descended into chaos as continuous bombing and loud bangs became daily occurrences. In February of 2012, a missile landed 50 meters away from Mary's house. The windows were blown out. Dust filled the interior. The family couldn't see each other. When the dust settled, Mary realized that her husband was hysterical as he searched for Mary and the children. Suddenly, they saw each other, and their misery turned into joy, but only for a very short time. A few minutes later, Mary's husband collapsed. She panicked. The streets were not safe, the phones were not working, the internet were off, and she could not reach anywhere for help. Mary was able, though, to get help from the next door neighbor, and they tried to revive Mary's husband, but it was too late. Mary said, "I lost my soulmate and the love of my life in a matter of moments." Since Mary's husband died, her son tried to operate the family business. With the help of friends, he tried to make ends meet. However, he was too young to handle such a business. In addition, he was harassed on the way to work and back home. On top of all that stress, he tried to act as a father to his sister. When the rebels began to harass young men by recruiting them in exchange for large sums of money and guns, Mary's son was approached, but he refused the rebels' offer. As a result, he kept receiving threatening letters. Mary says, "My son was too precious for me to lose him. This was a turning point for me, and I decided to take my children and left Syria for Lebanon." With the Canadian government's commitment to resettle Syrian refugees, Mary's story has changed. Mary and her family are among the thousands of refugees resettled through the Maryland Central Committee private sponsorship program, which offers friendship and support to refugees. About the help and the friendships received, Mary said, "My children and I are hoping to regain our dignity and regular life. We thank God for answering our prayer for coming to Canada, where peace and respect are the key components of the society. Sponsoring friends have changed Mary's life and their children's life. It is a great thing. It is an awesome thing." Brothers and sisters, do you have a faithful friend? Do you have a good friend? I do, and his name is Jesus. Jesus told his disciples that they were his friends if they obeyed and followed his commands. He told them too that the greatest love a person had would be expressed by laying down his life for his friends. And that is what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be brought into right relationship with God. In that relationship of friendship with Jesus, we are called to live sacrificial lives, laying down our lives, so to speak, for others and bearing fruit that will last. Jesus is a friend without borders. He revealed that when he left heaven and the throne room of God to come to earth and to be friends that we need. And now, while we live on earth, he is in heaven interceding for us. Not only is he a friend without borders in terms of heaven and earth, but he is also a friend, and his friendship crosses all borders to all ethnic groups, countries, religion, gender, age, and age groups. He is calling all people to himself, so all who believe will know that he is the only friend who can save them today and for all eternity. Jesus' friendship has defied borders and turned the world upside down. It was the fulfillment of God's friendship with his people Israel that had begun years ago when God called Abraham and successive generations to follow him. But repeatedly, Israel spurned God's friendship. They wanted friendship with other gods, with little g, and other nations who opposed God. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to warn the people of his coming judgment because of their disobedience and their complaints against him. God saw that what was going on in their hearts was very clear to him. They wanted the benefit of God's friendship on their own terms. They seemed to be a nation that was seeking God and eager to know his ways. They acted as if they were doing what was right, as if they were still obeying God's commands. They asked God to give them just decisions and seemed eager for God to come near to them. In fact, they demanded to know why God was ignoring their religious fasts. They felt angry because they claimed to have humbled themselves, but they said that God had not noticed it. God would have none of their complaints. He immediately got down to the root of their problem. Theirs was not a true fast because their hearts were full of wickedness. They did as they pleased. They exploited their workers, quarreled among themselves, and were violent to each other. God made it clear that he would not listen to their prayers if they practiced injustice. Their prayers would go unanswered if they ignored the commands of the one who had chosen them. God did not want a fast that lasted one day, in which a person piously bowed and lay on sackcloth and ashes. God could see through that kind of show to the heart of each and every person. Excuse me. God wanted much more than the outward religious show. He wanted the entire devotion of his people, lives committed to obeying his commands and working out justice in practical ways. The children of God, the friends of God, were called to reflect the heart of God, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to share their food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to clothe the naked, and to welcome their own family members. Hundreds of years later, Jesus spoke about a time of a coming judgment when he would return to earth to judge the deeds of all people. Calling himself the Son of Man in Matthew 24:31-46, Jesus spoke of the coming day when he would return to earth with his angels and sit on his glorious throne. It is a day that no person can escape. Jesus talked about himself as a shepherd who will separate the sheep from the goats, placing the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then referring to himself as king, Jesus said that the sheep will be called blessed. They are invited to take inheritance, namely the kingdom that was prepared for them since the creation of the world. Why does the shepherd king confer his blessings on his sheep? Here is why. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit. The sheep are puzzled because they have no recollection of doing any of these things for Jesus. King Jesus answers the question and says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then the king turned to the goats on his left and commanded them, because they had not fed Jesus when he was hungry, gave him a drink when he was thirsty, invited him in as a stranger, clothed him when he needed clothes, or visited him when he was sick or in prison. They ignored the needs of other human beings, not realizing that what they were doing was ignoring Jesus and condemning themselves to eternal banishment. Friends of Jesus, Jesus' picture of the judgment clearly spells out what counted in his eyes, namely caring for people who needed care no matter their circumstances. Jesus made it clear that after the judgment, the fulfillment of all ages will come, the final shalom. Jesus told this story to people who knew Israel's God. They knew the words of God spoken through prophet Isaiah. They knew about the God-ordained way of the true fast. Some of the people of Israel obeyed, and some did not. They wanted God's friendship on their own terms, not on God's term. Of course, salvation is an undeserved gift that God gives us in his grace and mercy. God loves us through no merit of our own. However, he calls us to live lives shaped by the knowledge that he is king. Kings have no kingdoms. Jesus came to earth, our friend without borders, to bring his kingdom of shalom here on earth as in heaven. King Jesus calls us to be friends to others here and now. As friends of Jesus, we are called to lay our lives for others. Today, millions of refugees are waiting to find relief in difficult circumstances. They are waiting for sponsors, people who are willing to do the kingdom building, shalom bringing, joy-filled work of being friends without borders, friends who welcome strangers, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and share Christ's love through acts of mercy. Will you follow Jesus by being a friend without borders too? Will you be a friend to a person like Zainab? Here is Zainab's story. Zainab was born in 1974 in Yarmouk camp in Damascus, Syria. The majority of Yarmouk residents are Palestinians, along with some Syrians. The two groups lived in harmony for decades. Zainab is married to Dr. Ali, a dentist, who studied and worked in various countries. In 2011, a peaceful demonstration was initiated in Syria. In response, the government began to shoot indiscriminately and to bomb areas supportive of the revolution. As a result, armed gangs spread across the country. Some people were forcibly displaced, and others fled from one place to another, trying to escape the conflict. Even though Zainab and her family had constant bombings of nearby towns like Yelda, the situation in Yarmouk was safe for a while. Many Syrian families from these regions sought refuge there, and the local families accepted the refugees into their homes. Mosques, schools, and public buildings were filled with refugees. Zainab and some of the local people started relief teams, delivered food, medicine, and clean water, and other supplies to the refugee centers. On a July day in 2012, a shell landed near Zainab's home. She checked for the safety of her children and then picked up her baby Khalid. As she approached the balcony of her house, she heard a second louder explosion. It threw her and Khalid backwards. As people gathered around the crater of the first shell, a third bomb landed nearby and killed 23 people. In shock, Zainab was unsure of what to do and where to go for safety. Her husband Ali was not at home, and Zainab was not sure whether to call him and tell him to come. Soon, Ali arrived and began to help the injured and the shocked families, as this was his duty as a doctor. In the following days, the streets of Yarmouk were continuously bombed, so the couple decided to relocate to Zainab's parents' home. The family spent a few days there and then moved back to their own home when things seemed to have calmed down. In September of 2012, Zainab was preparing food while her son Faraj was on his way to the grandparents' house. Soon, she heard the deafening sound of nearby bombing. She ran out to check on her son Faraj and saw her husband running upstairs, yelling for everybody to get ready because they were leaving the country right away. The attack on Yarmouk had started. Armed groups and the Syrian government were fighting for control. With no time to waste and the threat of death hanging over them, the family gathered their documents and hired a taxi driver who had experience crossing the border and checkpoints. After some hours, they crossed into Lebanon. Later, they registered with the United Nations High Commission for Refugees and became refugees. As refugees, they live in Saida in southern Lebanon, where they, along with thousands of other displaced people, are struggling to survive. Zainab says, thank you. Zainab says, we are displaced from our homes and separated from our loved ones and our social networks. We cannot return to our country. Our return to Syria is impossible. Just think about that statement, impossible. Do you have room in your imagination for the word impossible? This is the life of refugees. Zainab and her family are a few among the millions of refugees in the world. They need friends to help them find a better life in a new country. Will you, at Dear Run Church, reflect the friendship of Jesus by being a friend to people like Zainab and her family? Jesus began calling his disciples friends rather than servants because he had entrusted them with everything he had from his Father. Jesus trusted the disciples to use the information for the good of his Father's kingdom. As Jesus' followers, this is our mission too, here on earth, called to be friends without borders, to all, including those we may find it difficult to share a table with. This, today, is my challenge to you, brothers and sisters. In the name of God, the Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.